නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස මග්ගානට්ඨංගිකෝ සෙට්ටෝ සච්ඡානං චතුරෝපදා විරාගෝ සෙට්ඨෝ ධම්මානං දිපදානංච චක්ඛුමා ඊසුව මග්ගෝ නත අඤ්ඤෝ දස්සනස්ස විසුද්ධියා ඊතං ඊතුම් හි පටිපජ්ජත මාරස්සේනං පමෝ දනං ඊතම් ඊතුම් හි පටිපන්නා දුක්ඛ සන්තං කරිස්සත අක්ඛාතෝ වේ මයා මග්ගෝ අඤ්ඤාය සල්ල සත්තනං තුම්මේහි කිච්ඡං ආතප්පං අක්ඛාතාරෝ තථාගතා පටිපන්නා ප්‍රමුක්ඛන්ති ජායිනෝ මාර බන්දනා. Dear friends in the Dhamma, those are some of the stanzas from the Dhammapada I have selected for today, this sermon. Although my sermon always connected with the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, so these stanzas are somewhat connection to the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So that is why I have selected those stanzas. Actually, you all have heard already from the Most Venerable Nayak Thero, we are celebrating the SLS celebration, that is to mark the first sermon of the Buddha. Also, there are some other important events happen in this day. You have heard this sermon many, many times. I think I have given many times, about over 20 years. But I didn't find anybody attain enlightenment. So, it is not, I don't know whether it is my fault or whether it is the fault of others, but nobody attained enlightenment. So it is, I have to repeat that sermon again and again. So, that is why. So it may be, you may recollect whatever the things you heard earlier. And you may think, oh, last year also Bhante told these things. But yes, I am going to tell you those things again and again until you attain enlightenment. So don't think it is boring, but it may be interesting to learn the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That is the main sermons of the Buddha. That is the teachings we should understand thoroughly. So that is why we select. So the stanzas I have selected, it is connected to the Dhammapada story. So once the Buddha went on a tour with 500 monks. Then after that tour, Buddha came back with those monks. In the evening, monks were talking about their journey. Normally when we have holiday or something, then after coming back, we say, things, you know, that place is very good, that place is not good, that those people are not good, and this way we talk. The same way, those monks were talking about their journey, the path. Some roads are very nice, some are very rough, they say, some places are very good, and this way they were talking. Then the Buddha saw that these monks are ripened to understand the teachings now. Then Buddha sat down and asked, what you were talking about? Then they said, Venerable Sir, we are talking about the journey we had. That time Buddha said, the monks should not, you have this path. This is the path I have explained you. You have to follow this path. Those things are not relevant. Those are not the one you should be concentrating on. Saying that, Buddha has given these stanzas. Then Buddha said, Magga Nattangiko Seto. What is the, of all the path, the Eightfold Path is the best. Of all the truth, the Four Noble Truths are the best. Of all things, the absence of craving is the best. Of men, the Buddha is the best. This is, then again Buddha said, this is the only path. There is none other for the purification of insight. So you have to see, you have to think. Buddha said, this is the only path. There is none other for the purification of insight. Buddha is not denying about the others, but Buddha is saying about the purification of insight. This is the path. This is the only path to purification of insight. Follow this path. It will bewilder Mara. Then you can escape from Mara. Then Buddha again, he said, following this path, you will make an end of dukkha. Having myself known the path which can lead to the removal of the thorns of moral defilements, I have shown you the path. So Buddha said, I have seen it, I have gone through it, now I know it, then after knowing it, I am telling you this is the path. Then lastly Buddha said, this is a very famous saying of the Buddha, you yourself should make an effort. The Tathagata or Buddha only can show the path, show the way. Those who practice the tranquility and insight meditation are freed from the bond of Mara. So these are, in these stanzas, all the teachings, whatever in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is included. So that is why I have selected that those stanzas to remind you what you are going to hear about. So, the one of the most important questions, all the religious system seek to address is, what is the purpose of life? Many people ask, even from us, what is the purpose of life? Then all the other religions also, they have mentioned different things about what is the purpose of life. Then they say that to salvation or liberation, satisfaction or happiness. Then in this way, the other religions also explain. Buddhism also, we have some kind of a theme. What is the purpose of life? In Buddhism, the primary purpose of life is to end suffering. The Buddha taught that humans suffer because we continually strive after things that do not give lasting happiness. We desperately try to hold on the things, friends, health, material things that do not last, and this causes sorrow. The Buddha did not deny that there are things in life that give joy, but pointed out that none of them last, and our attachment to them only cause more suffering. His teachings were focused entirely on the problem and its solution. This is done by recognizing the impermanence of all things and freeing oneself from attachment to those things. This will lessen suffering and eventually end the circle of rebirth. These teachings are expressed in a few words in the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path. In this important sermon of the Buddha, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha expounded the middle path which himself discovered and which formed the essence of this new teaching. He preached for 45 years, you all know, but the whole teaching of these 45 years was summarized in his first sermon. To understand the real essence of Buddhism, one should study thoroughly the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Buddha's first sermon. We have learned the Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path, conditional genesis of the individual, or what we call the Paticchasamuppada. But the people who understand the right meaning of the Four Noble Truths and the theory of cause and effect I think one can understand that is the reality of the nature of life. The Buddha's teachings have one name. So this is important, to show the way out of suffering to those who have not yet escaped. The purpose of the teaching is to give us the right understanding. So that's the Buddha's main theme. So let us now talk about the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. I know many Dayakas who are here today, so they still have the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta in their hands, English and Singhal's translation. So let us see whether you have understood it correctly and the rightly. So then it is easy to match when we are reciting, this is what Bandula Bhante said. So there are a few topics. We can divide these sutras for different topics. The first topic, what is that? Buddha said, Dveme bhikkhave yanta pabbajitena na sevitabba yo chayam kamesu kama sukallikana yogo hino gammo potujjaniko anariyo anatta sangito yo chayam attakilamatana yogo dukkho anariyo anatta sangito. In this way Buddha explained there are two extremes in this practice. If you want to liberation, then you have to get rid of those two. Kama sukallikana yoga and atta kilamatana yoga. Sensual pleasures and so much pain to body. In this way, two extremes. Because as Prince Siddhartha, he enjoyed all the pleasurable things in his life as a prince. Then afterwards, he left all those things, all the pleasurable things, and he started practicing all the harsh practices, austerities. Then, after doing that, he found out it is only giving so much pain to body. There is no way he can get the liberation, because it is when you have so much pain. It is like when you are have pain in sitting here, then you can't concentrate. The same way, if somebody is giving so much pain to body, then how he can have that liberation from all the sufferings in his life? So, Buddha. Buddha, having practiced that, because you all know that how the Buddha practiced those austerities, because he was not eating properly, he was not sleeping properly, and he became very thin and pale, and lastly he fell down. So until that he practiced, then he realized what I am doing here, because I had so much pleasurable life, now I am doing these things, there is no way I can attain the things I want to attain. Then he decided I should follow another path. Then he realized I have practiced when I was small. As a small child, I have practiced the anapanasati, breathing meditation. Then I should go for that in the middle way. Then he followed that path. So that is why Buddha here said, so these kamasukallikana yoga and attakilamatana yoga, because when you have so much things in this world, happiness or enjoyment, so you forget everything. So you don't want to get rid of all those things. And also the same way that when you have the pain and things, there is no way. Then when you are in the middle, then it is the equanimity state you have to create within one. Then the Buddha said, these are the two extremes. Then Buddha went on. Now this is the first topic, is the explaining about two extremes. Then the Buddha said, second topic, the middle way, the Noble Eightfold Path. The Buddha said, Etete bhikkhave ubhuvante anupagama majjhima pativada tragate navisam buddha chakku karani jnana karani upasama abhinyaya sambodaya nibbanaya sangati. Then Buddha said, other two, giving so much pain to body, it is not the way of Aryans, it is not the way of a person who is practicing meditation. In this way Buddha explained, it is the different way. This way Buddha said, these are the things which you can attain. Chakkukarani, you get the vision. Jnanakarani, you get the knowledge. That upasamaya, you get the calmness, and Abhinyaya, the and Sambodaya, Nibbanaya, all those things can be attained with this middle path. Then Buddha said, what are the middle path? Then you all know what are the eightfold path. I don't want to say again and again. Buddha said, this is the middle path. Sammāditti, sammāsankappa, sammāvācā, sammākammanta, sammājīva, sammāvāyāma, sammāsati, sammāsamādhi. Buddha explained all those things. In this way, this is the middle path one has to follow. Then Buddha said, avoiding both these extremes, the Tathāgata has realized the middle path. It gives vision, gives knowledge, and lead to calm, to insight, to enlightenment, and to Nibbāna. And what is that middle path realized by the Tathāgata? It is the Noble Eightfold Path and nothing else. Namely, right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness and right concentration. This is the middle path realized by Tathāgata, which gives vision, which gives knowledge and leads to the calm, to insight, to enlightenment and to Nibbāna. So those are the second topics in it. First two extremes, then the Buddha said middle path. Then we come to third topic. That is the Four Noble Truths, Buddha explained. When we talk about Buddha's teaching, although we may say a lot, it can usually brought down to four things. That's they are simply to know suffering, to know the cause of suffering, to know the end of suffering, and to know the path of practice leading to the end of suffering. In this Dhammacakka Sutta, the Buddha explained these four things. So now we come to Buddha explain those four noble truths in his teaching. The first noble truth is the Dukkha Ariyasaccha. Because in Dukkha Ariyasaccha, it is translated in almost all scholars, the noble truth of suffering. And it is interpreted to mean that life according to Buddhism is nothing but suffering and pain. So that is the disadvantage we have. Because all the people, when we talk about suffering, oh, Buddha, Buddhist people are talking about suffering, then pain. So some people, they don't want to listen it. But both translation and interpretation are highly unsatisfactory and misleading. It is because of this limited, free and easy translation and it is superficial interpretation that many people have misled into regarding Buddhism as pessimistic. So that is why they think that Buddhism is talking about only suffering. But when we look at Buddhism is neither pessimistic nor optimistic. What is it? If anything at all, it is realistic. It takes realistic view of life and of the world. So that is the beauty of Buddhism. It looks at things objectively, yathābhūta. That means as it is we are looking at. We are not going to hide things. It does not falsely silence you into living in a fool's paradise. Nor does it frighten and agonize you with all kind of imaginary fears and things. It tells you exactly and objectively what you are and what the world around you is and show you the way to perfect freedom, peace, tranquility and happiness. So that is the Buddha wanted to say about this suffering. So let us see what are the sufferings. There is so much suffering in this world. Every day, there are millions of people who do not have enough to eat, suffering from pain of hunger. There are millions of people in the world who do not have enough clothes or shelter, experiencing the pain of cold, rain and heat. There are so many millions who are suffering the pain of disease. There are so many beings in the world helpless in the hand of enemies, in the hand of people who want to do them harm. In so many countries, prisoners are being brutalized. There is the violence of war. You can recollect the recent incidents happening everywhere in this world. Men and women with feeling just like our own, are helpless in the face of pain, unable to do anything about it. How many times have we been in that very same situation, and how many times will be there in future wanderings? So that is important thing. We Buddhists believe this is not the end of our lives. Because there were lives before and there will be lives. All those things we have to consider. We don't know what happened in previous life. We don't know even what will happen in future. So now at the moment we are okay, thinking that we are saved. But there is no safety in this world. So recent incidents happen in everywhere. Flooded in Sri Lanka and the burning tower building in this country. So is there any safe? We cannot have any safe in this world, wandering in samsara. At the moment we think we are okay, but we don't know what will happen, what is change going to be happen. The little turn of the karmic wheel and we again those people, we can be in that situation. How many times have we experienced it and how often will we continue to do so? There is the suffering of birth, the pain of the mother, even more pain for the child being born. After being born, how much sufferings we have to experience. The body gets diseased, it gets sick, and it gets old and weak, the pain of death. So all these things we are experiencing. Then we are getting old, how much pains and suffering we are experiencing. So these are the things. And apart from that, there is pain. There is pain of mind, depression, despair, anxiety, worry, anger, hatred, fear, lust, grief. How long will we remain trapped in this long round of rebirth, hurrying on, driven by ignorance and craving? The pain of the endlessness, every morning to awaken to colors and smells, sounds, sensation, thoughts, in endless repetition. So think about it. When you are going to work, how you did those things. So every time, go to work, come back in the evening, go to sleep again. In the morning, you have to go. Do you happy with those things? Nobody is happy. But we think we are happy. That is how those things happen. So all the day, we go through the day and to sleep, we wake in the same colors and same sounds, same smells and taste and sensation and thoughts over and over again. So this is repetition. See, why we do not like to look at the pain and suffering in our lives. So that is the thing. We don't look at it in that way. We think we are enjoying. We put the old and sick away in home so we don't have to see their sorrows. We chase beggars off the street so we don't see the pain of poverty. We dress up dead bodies as if they were going to a party, never confronting the face of death. So we close it and we try to forget about all those things. The first noble truth of the Buddha's enlightenment is the truth of suffering. So there is suffering in this world. So that is what we have to think. When someone understands that there is suffering, that person will realize what I am doing, how I can get rid of these things. So that is how the Buddha left his palace. Because he understood there is something suffering, unsatisfactoriness happening in this world. But we try to forget all those things because while living, there are some enjoyment too. There is little enjoyment due to that. We try to forget all those pains and suffering. So that is what Buddha said. So there are three kinds of dukkha explained. One is dukkha dukkha, ordinary way of suffering. All kind of suffering in life, like birth, old age, sickness, death, grief, lamentation, distress, all these things like ordinary suffering, all such forms of physical and mental suffering. Ordinary suffering is suffering which is the inherent nature in conditions. Standing is suffering, sitting is suffering, lying down is suffering. This is a suffering that is inherent to all conditioned phenomena. Even the Buddha experienced those things. He experienced comfort and pain, but he recognized them as conditioned in nature, so we have to understand it. He knew how to overcome these ordinary natural feelings of comfort and pain through understanding their true nature. So that is what how we should understand. Because he understood this natural suffering, those feelings did not upset. Then what are the things? There are some other things, viparinama dukkha, suffering experienced by change. The happy feeling, a happy condition in life is not permanent, not everlasting. It changes sooner or later. When it changes, it processes pain, suffering, and unhappiness. It is easy to understand that type of suffering too, then when we realize it. But the important kind of suffering, the third kind, is suffering that creeps it from outside. That is our graspings, that is called sankhara dukkha, conditioned states. This is the most important psychological aspect of the Four Noble Truth. The extraordinary suffering is the suffering that arises from what we call upadana, grasping into things. So I think that is the Buddha explained about the dukkha. Things happening around us. So then Buddha goes on to the second noble truth. The Buddha's teaching is the cause, second noble truth of the Buddha's teaching is the cause of suffering, desire and attachment. In the Sutta, Dhammacakkappavattana, it says, kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. But not only that, there are some other things explained in some other suttas. It's explained, desire for sense pleasure, that is kama tanha, the cherishing views and opinions, the beliefs that rites, rituals and ceremonies are given to bring a relief of suffering, and the very strong attachment we have to the concept of self, of I. So these are the another four kind of upadanas explained in some other suttas connected to the second noble truth. So, no one makes us hold on. There is no force of power outside of ourselves which keep us bound to the wheel of life and death. It is just the clinging up in our own minds. So that is what Buddha wants to say. Nobody is doing it. We are buying ourselves in that net. There are four great grasping of attachment which keep us bound to the wheel. The first of these is our attachment to sense pleasures. That is called kama upadana. Always seeking pleasant sounds and sights, agreeable smells, delicious taste and pleasant sensation of the body. Seeking after momentary, fragmentary pleasures, we are attracted to them as if they will solve our problems. So that is what we do. We think all those things gives us pleasure and the happiness. So we are attached to it. We think it will remove our suffering. We live our lives waiting for the next things every time. Good things looking for next time. Next vacation or next new dress or new object to get. All that is the way our mind works. So then we think our suffering has gone. But suffering, you get more suffering after getting that. So next every time looking for next things. So that is how our mind work. The second great attachment to our opinion and views, that is called ditti upadana. We have so many opinions about things, so many preconceptions. Attachment to view is such a great bondage. It keeps us from seeing how things are. It filters reality through the colored glasses of our own particular conditioning. If we let go of these attachments, the whole truth of Dhamma will be revealed. Everything will be there. We have to let go of our preconceived idea of how things are, of how we would like things to be. Letting go of the attachment to our cherished opinions, this is the second of the great bondage which keep us from bound to the wheel of samsara, the wheel of suffering. So that is very important point. Because see, due to different reasons, we have the preconceived ideas. Those ideas sometimes cannot be removed. Because those are within ourselves. Always it is attracting whatever the others say. Whenever we hear something, we judge, we filter it, whether it is going to be my idea. If it is not, then always we try to reject, but we don't want to think more and more about it. Because that is preconceived ideas always gives us problem. So that is why in this world, people, they don't want to understand the real nature of life. So those things, we have it. So we don't want to get rid of those things. If one day we can remove those ideas, whatever preconceived ideas is in us, then we can think freely. Because now people are not allowing us to think freely. Because something within us, we have given that ideas. So we are not free from those ideas. But we have to get rid of all those ideas and we should have the mind to think ourselves whether this is correct or not. Whether this is good or this is bad. In this way we should have. Because as humans because manusya means we have the mind to think. So we should have that freedom to think, not to the others. That is why Buddha said in Kalam Sutta, Buddha said, even I said, you don't have to take it. Think about it and analyze it and get it. So that is why, so Ditti Upadana is very bad condition to all of us. The third kind of attachment, different rite and rituals. So we all do all those things. It's called Silabhata Upadana. Thinking, lighting a lamp or lighting a candle or incense or something and putting it and doing some prayers, all the problems going to be resolved. Sometimes to get rid of all the suffering, we think, oh, doing that, offering flowers, you cannot attain enlightenment. Those things can help in different ways, but the get rid of our suffering, all those things, silabhata upadana, does not help. So that ideas we have to have, that because that sometimes we are thinking all these things help us. Yes, it helps in different ways, but the main cause of get rid of suffering, but get rid of suffering means having a lot of pleasurable things, then it is wrong. That get rid of suffering is to get rid of all these defilements. To get rid of all defilements, then we should have that understanding, doing all those prayers, going to hear that devala and this devala and doing all those things does not help to attain enlightenment. Our main course is to get rid of suffering. If for that, we should get rid of all those things and we have a firm mind within us. Then the fourth bond, the most subtle, the most deeply conditioned in our attachment to the belief in self, in I, in me, in mind, that is called attavada upadana. Then we think that there is the belief that there is some permanent entity in the mind body which is experiencing all those things because of this belief and satisfy the I, the self, we get involved in all kind of delusion for the gratification of the self which isn't even there. Our attachment to the concept of self is so great that everything we do revolve around it, trying the bond even tight tighter to the mass of pain. So our task is following the Buddha's teaching is to investigate what it is we refer to as I, as myself, as what I am. We usually take these terms to refer to some kind of persisting entity, an ego, a substantial self processing a real identity. But the Buddha teaches that all such ideas are deceptions. When we investigate the referent of the terms I, me and myself, what we find are the components of bodily and mental experience. To avoid, to aid investigation, the Buddha has nearly classified these components of body and mental experience into five groups. So that is why in Buddha, in the Dukkha, when you are explaining, Buddha said, Sankichena panchupada nakhanda dukkha. In that way, Buddha explained, all the five aggregates are the suffering. So, those five aggregates, I am not going to say all the five aggregates and give a sermon on that, but the five aggregates always make us thinking that there is a person called I within ourselves. Then when we have realization, or when we analyze it, we find there is no such type of thing. We have lived for last 40, 50 years. What we have done, that is the body and all the nama rupa work within us. That is what happened. There is nothing itself remain I. So, so that is why Buddha said that there are in that second noble truth, Buddha said, the craving is the one. The after attaining enlightenment, Buddha said, Aneka jati sansaraṁ sandha visaṁ anibbisaṁ gahakārakaṁ gahirsanto dukkha jati punappunaṁ gahakāraka distosi punagehaṁ nakāsi sabbāte pāsukā bhagga gahakūtaṁ visaṅgitaṁ visaṅkāraka tanchittaṁ tannhānaṁ kayamajjaka. In this way, Buddha explained, I have, though many births, I wandered in sansara, seeking but not finding the builder of the house. Sorrowful is to be born again and again. O householder, you are seen. You will not make the house again. All these rafters are broken. The house ridge is destroyed. My mind has attained the unconditioned. Achieved is the end of craving. So second noble truth, Buddha explained, the craving is there. There are some other craving is defined in different sections. Then Buddha said, all those things I have removed. So I am free. I am not going to be born again. So that was Buddha's second noble truth, Buddha explained. The third noble truth of the Buddha's teaching is the end of suffering. The end of pain. That is what we call nirvana, is this state beyond the mind-body process. No subject to all the suffering which is inherent in it. Freedom, that is what called freedom, peace, calm, cool release. That is getting rid of all the cravings. So there is no defilements within one's mind. Then that state we call the attainment of Nibbana, the putting down all the burden. The Buddha also pointed out the way to this experience. It is not a mysterious teaching reserved for just for a few. So that is different. See, this teaching, Buddha's teaching is all of us to understand what is this suffering is, and also how this suffering comes, and also how to get rid of what is the attainment. Then Buddha explained the Four Noble Truths of the Buddha's teaching. The Noble Eightfold Path. How to put down the burden. It is not an extreme path. It does not involve great self-torture. It does not involve going off to a cave. It is neither self-mortification nor overindulgence in the sense pleasures which keep us bound. It is the middle path to be aware of how things are happening, to be wakeful and balanced, to be mindful, not clinging, not condemning, not identifying with the things as being I yourself, moment to moment, freeing the mind from defilements. So that is the path Buddha explained in that four, eightfold path. Because the as time is limited, I don't want to explain about the four, eightfold path. Because there are things which we have to apply for the body. There are parts which we have to apply for the words. There are parts which we have to apply for our mind. So Buddha explained that path. When somebody follow that path, the Buddha observed that all beings are trapped in those two extremes, never see in the middle of the way of Dhamma. So he brought them down to the or to show penalty involved in both. Because we are still stuck, because we are still wanting, we live repeatedly under their way. So Buddha laid down the morality, concentration and wisdom as the path to peace. So that path explained in Eightfold Path. Develop them to completion, the way to enlightenment. It is clearly shown the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. But in truth, these things are not the essence of Buddhism. So that is the important thing. They are merely the path. The essence of Buddhism is peace. And that peace arises from the truly knowing the nature of all things. How, what is happening? If you investigate closely, we can see the peace is neither happiness nor unhappiness. In the practice, we must do everything with detachment. How are we to detach? We detach by seeing things clearly, know the characteristic of the body and mind as they are. We must know the body within the body. Then, having investigated the mind, we should know the mind within the body. So Buddha explained that Dhammacakkappavattana, those four factors, four noble truths. Then what happened? Then the second, fourth topics comes. Then Buddha has given that in that sutta you can find Tiparivatta and Dvadasakara. There are three faces and the in this truth. The sutta also unique in presenting the three faces, Tiparivatta, of which for each of the truth, four noble truths are there. There are three faces in that. Then the four noble truths and the three faces, then it become 12. So what is this? First called the knowledge. That is called the Satcha Jnana. Satcha Jnana, that understanding of the truth. That is Satcha Jnana. So four noble truths we are still talking about. 12 insights are there. The first one is the Satcha Jnana, the understanding is there. Then the knowledge, the next one called knowledge of the task to be done regarding each truth. That is called the Kiccha Jnana, what we have to do. Knowing it, then what we have to do it. Then the third one comes called the Katha Jnana, the knowledge of the accomplishment of these tasks, when after finishing that one. They call the Katha Jnana, Satcha Jnana, Kiccha Jnana, and Katha Jnana. In this way it is explained. Then the, when these three phases are applied to each of the four noble truths, they total as the 12 aspects of modes. That is called Dvadasakara. The commentarial version of these phases is called the three good truth. That is called the Saddhamma. They have explained. They explain the true Dhamma. The true Dhamma as theory. That's called the Pariyatti Saddhamma. Textual aspect. The true Dhamma, second one, the true Dhamma as practice. Patipatti Saddhamma. Then the last one, the true Dhamma as realization, that Pativeda. So that we have to understand. First, only we, when we look at it, when we understand the sutta, we are only doing the textual understanding. Only text we understand it. We know there is suffering. And also we know there is a course of suffering. And we know there is the nirvana, of cessation of suffering, and there is a path leading to cessation of suffering. But how much we have understanding kicca jnana and katha jnana. So that is the most important thing we have to think. With regard to the Four Noble Truths, we have the four functions to perform. Then we have to have that understanding of those four things. What are the First Noble Truth? The dukkha, what called the nature of life. It is suffering, it is sorrows and joys, it is implications and unsatisfactoriness, it is impermanence and insubstantiality. We have to have understanding that. With regard to that, our function is to understanding it as a fact, then clearly, that is called a parinyata. That's clear, we have to be clear. Then the completely eradicate, that complete understanding called the parinyatang. Then after the understanding we call it. Dukkha is there, then we understand it, then completely understand it. In this way, jnana and katha jnana, satcha jnana, kicca jnana and katha jnana, these three occasions we have to look at it. Then Second Noble Truth also has the same way, the origin of dukkha, which is called the thirst, desire, accompanied by all other passions, defilements and impurities. The mere understanding of these facts is not sufficient. Here, our function is to discard it. Discard it what? All the cravings we have discarded. Eliminate it, to destroy it, eradicate it. That is what we call the paha tabba pahinang. When you are reading that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, you will find it. We say three times. One is the dukkha satyang, samudaya satyang. Then we call the samudaya satya, we call the paha tabbang pahinang. Before that we call parinyatang, parinyayang, parinyatang. The second one called the paha tabbang pahinang. Then Third Noble Truth, also cessation of dukkha, that is what called the Nibbana, the absolute truth, ultimate reality. Here our function is to realize it. Though we know there is something called the Nirvana, but we haven't attained it. But the Buddha said, you have to satchika tabbang, then we can say satchikatang. Yes, I know it, then I have realized it. Then Fourth Noble Truth, also the Buddha, same way Buddha said, path leading to the realization of Nibbana. The mere knowledge of the path, however complete, will not do. Then we all know the eightfold path, but it doesn't help. But in this case, our function is, as Buddhists, what we have to do is to follow the path and keep it up to it, and also the bhavetabbang. We have to develop it. Then lastly, we can say bhavitang, I have develop it. So that those are the things Buddha explained in that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. We have to remember Tiparivattang Dvadasakara. In this way it has divided for four parts: Kicca, Satcha Jnana, Kicca Jnana, Katha Jnana. That means the understanding and also the practicing it and also the attainment of it. Those are the, in this way, Four Noble Truth has divided for 12 bits. Then the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta explains the Buddha, how he explained it. Then Buddha, it is topic 5, comes proclamation of release from the rebirth. In that way Buddha explained. The Buddha's declaration of his awakening. It is only after having realized the 12 aspects of as they really are, the Siddhartha, the ascetic Siddhartha claimed fully awakening, became Buddha. The Buddha said, Yavakivanchame imesu chatusvari satchesu evang tiparivattang dvadasakarang yathabhutang jnanadassanang nasuvisuddhang avosi. Buddha said, I haven't attained enlightenment without all those things. What? Evan tiparivattan dvadasakaram. I haven't attained supreme enlightenment. Then Buddha said, so long, because as my knowledge and vision of these four noble truths are as they really are, in their three phases and 12 aspects are not thoroughly purified in this way, I did not claim to have awakened to the incomparable fully awakening in this world with its God, its masses, all those things. Then he didn't claim that I am a Buddha without having all those things. After having this, Buddha said, Yato chako me bhikkave imesu chatusu arye satchetu evang tiparivattan dvadasakarang yathabhutang jnanadastanang suvisuddhang ahosi. At that time, Buddha said, after attainment of all those 12 things, 12 factors of those 8 noble truths, I became the Buddha. Then the Buddha said, yeah, I understood the truth, I attained enlightenment, there is no other birth, Buddha said. Then Buddha said, when my knowledge and vision of these four noble truths as they really are in their three phases and 12 aspects are thoroughly purified in this way, then I claim to have awakened to the incomparable fully awakening in this world. The knowledge and vision arose in me. That's unshakable is my liberation. This is my last birth. Now there is no more rebirth for me. So that is what Buddha said. After attainment of those 12 factors. So we have, when you are reading it, you should have that understanding what Buddha was talking about. Then that is why one Brahman asked why you are called the Buddha. Buddha said, Abhinyayang abhinyatang bhave tabbancha bhavitang pahatabbam pahinang me tasma buddhosmi brahmana. Buddha said, what has to be known, I have known. What has to be abandoned, that I have abandoned. What has to be developed, I have developed. Therefore, O Brahmana, I am the Buddha. So that is why, how we can say the Buddha. So then what happened according to the sutta, then after listening to that those things, Buddha declared that how I become enlightened. Then after listening those things, imas minchapana veya karanasmin banjamane ayasmato kondanyas virajang vitamalan dhammachakkum udapadi yankinchi samudaya dhammang sabbantang nirodha dhammang. That is what happened. When the doctrine was being expounded, there arose the Venerable Kondanya, the dustless, the stainless eye of the truth, and he realized the whatever is subject to cessation, all that is subject to cessation. Whatever is subject to causation, all that is subject to cessation. That is what happened. When Venerable Kondanya, the first disciple, heard the Buddha's teaching for the first time, the realization he had was nothing very complicated. He simply saw that whatever things is born, that thing must change and grow old as a natural condition, and eventually it must die. Kondanya had never thought of this before. Or if he had, it wasn't thoroughly clear. So he had not yet let go. He couldn't let go. He still cling to the khandhas, all those attachments, as that five aggregates. As he sat mindfully, listening to the Buddha's discourse, Buddha nature rose in him. He received the sort of Dhamma transmission, which has the knowledge that all conditioned things are impermanent. Anything which is born must have aging and death as a natural result. It is not only things whatever around us, even for the things whatever in our mind are the same thing. Whatever arises, it will go. The feeling was different from anything he had even before. He truly realized this mind, and so Buddha arose within him. At that time, the Buddha declared the Kondanya had received the eye of Dhamma. That is what Buddha called the Anyasi Vatabhu Kondanya. Then before saying the Anyasi Vatabhu Kondanya, in the according to Sutta, you will be listening to all the Devas, how they transmit that Buddha's words to all the other worlds. all the devas were saying it different ways. In different worlds, it transmits to all the worlds. So, let us see what is this Dhamma sees. The I, what are the things he understood? So, this I sees that whatever is born has aging and death as a natural result. Whatever is born means everything, whether material or immaterial, all comes under the whatever is born. It refers to all the nature, like the body, for instance. It is born and then proceed to extinction. When it is small, it dies from small to youth. After a while, it dies from youth and becomes middle age. Then it goes on to die from middle age and reach old age, finally reaching the end. Trees, mountains, and veins all have these characteristics. So all these things has changed in process. So the Buddha exhorted his disciple to practice with mind, because the world is born in this mind. The eight worldly dhammas are there, the eightfold path, that is investigation through the calm and insight meditation. Our diligent effort and the wisdom we develop, all these things loosen the grip of the world. Attachment, aversion and delusion becomes lighter, and being lighter, we know them as such. If you experience fame, material gain, praise, happiness or suffering, we are aware of it. We must know these things before we can transcend the world, because the world is within us. Buddha has given this sermon to the monks. You can see that five monks are given. What is the use for us? But it is not only for the monks this sutta applied. This is Buddha's foundation, teachings of the Buddha. It can be applied for anybody in this world. So it gives the peace. So it is to understand the real nature of our life. So that is why this teaching is important. So that is why Buddha said that stance I have still. Buddha's teaching simply pointed out the way to realize. This is why Buddha said, "Tumehi kicchaṁ ātappaṁ akkhātāro tathāgata." The enlightened one only point out the way. He cannot practice for us, because the truth is something we cannot put into words or give away. To realize the Dhamma, we must take that teaching and bring it to our hearts. That part which is for the body, we apply for the body. That part which is for the speech, we apply for the speech. And that part which is for the mind, we apply for the mind. So, that is what Buddha said. So, in Buddhism, we have to do ourselves. That is the difficulty. There are some other religions you can say, God is doing everything for you. So it is, you are free. Whatever you do, everything, they are doing it. But for us, we have to do ourselves. To get rid of all this suffering, we have to work hard for ourselves. So it is difficult, but it can be done. That is the thing. That is the beauty of it. So to get the peace, you can't expect the peace from others. We have to make peace within us. Then we are in peace. So we have to have that understanding. So to achieve this peace, Nibbana, we have to work on ourselves. Therefore, work hard to come out of your misery and to enjoy the happiness of liberation. Keep practicing on the path of Dhamma, not only for your own benefit and liberation, but also for the benefit and liberation of many. May all of you enjoy the real happiness. May all beings be happy. And may we all attain the bliss of Nibbana. Hope I have made my effort to give some teachings of the Buddha.